Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
While you're standing, just one very short, quick verse of scripture, Hebrews 13 and 1. Scripture will be my title today. Let brotherly love continue. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful body of believers that you have assembled together. And Lord, I pray today we'll just hear what the Spirit would say through your word. God, help us to be challenged, changed, encouraged today. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. One more hand clap of praise to the Lord this morning. God's good. Hallelujah. We thank you. You can be seated. Thank the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Let brotherly love continue. It's the fact that we have to have love. It's not a secret to the Christian faith. We know that there was a great love that rescued us. Talk about for the great love wherewith he loved us, how he gave his life for us, how he purchased us. When we were out without strength, he died for us. You know, we understand the great love of God, and we are thankful for that love today. I'm thankful for the love of God that washes away all of our sin, that purchased us and washed us. We thank God for his love and mercy today. It's unconditional. Aren't you thankful that his love for us was not didn't come with conditions, that he could only love us if he loved us anyway? He loved us totally and completely. His love for us, we didn't deserve it. We weren't worthy of it, but he gave it to us and offered it to us and changed us with it, because that's who he is. God is love. We love him because he first loved us. And there's nothing that's more exciting for us in the church than when we see new people experience that love for the first time. When they come in and the presence of the Lord is moving through the house, and you know, many times we've heard people say, man, I just felt the love of God today. And this is something that you don't, it doesn't come in a tangible gift. It's that presence and that feeling that God brings over us. I remember that feeling, and it's funny how that you just, the first time you feel it, you just know what it is. I think God just, he doesn't dose us with that and us go, what in the world was that? Now, sometimes when the Holy Ghost hits you, you might have thought, what was that? All the hair on your arms are standing up and it's moving all over. But when you feel the love of God, you just know it's the love of God. This is the love of my Father that falls upon me. And when we see a new person come in and they feel that love for the first time, it's so exciting, because that is the goodness of God. And that's what leads them to a place of repentance, and they come to a place where they're baptized in his name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's just so powerful in their life. And we love that. And we love new converts. But, you know, because they're just like new little babies. They're so excited. They say silly stuff. And we try not to repeat it too much, because we don't want to embarrass them, but you know, because they're older adults now, but they're babes in the Lord. But we think, oh, that's so cute. They'll learn. They'll learn. You know. But we love that. But what we don't need to do, and it's what's in this statement, let brotherly love continue, is that We don't need to stop loving them once they become assimilated into the body. Let brotherly love continue. Oh, we shower it on when they first come in. Then we're just doting on them. We're taking up time with them. We're really pouring it out. And I understand that people grow into a maturity, and just like our children, we do back off some so they can learn to walk on their own, even though they're not on their own. You know, as a parent, you know that your kids have to do things on their own, but you're always there for them. All they've got to do is call. And so we understand that while people will mature in the Lord, you can't stop loving them. We've got to let brotherly love continue. That's a special kind of love. He said, didn't just say let love continue. He said let brotherly love. Brother, that there's a relationship. If you're somebody's brother, there's a blood relationship, or either a legal, binding, official relationship between you and somebody. Then that makes you, whether you claim them or not, their brother. You know, that happens in the world. People that are siblings, and they don't speak, got nothing to do with another, but it doesn't change the biological fact or the legal fact. Legally, biologically, you are their sibling. And when we are baptized into one body by one Spirit, we become siblings, the brothers and sisters in the Lord. And now we are obligated to let brotherly love continue. People are like, I don't want to. I can tell by that silence. I don't want to let it continue. But we have to. We have to let brotherly love continue. And usually what I've found over time is that when brotherly love begins to cease, it's because oftentimes we treat people like projects. I've said this before, there's things about projects. Projects always have an end. It may not seem like they do sometimes. We get to working on projects like this building, and it seems like we'll never finish it. But one day we'll have done everything that is needed to be done, and then it'll just be what we want to do. But the project will end. If you have a project that you're working on your job, eventually there's an end date for that project. It'll end. And we can't treat people like projects, because here's a few things that happen when you treat people like projects. You complete the project, and then you ignore it. There's nothing left to do. If you are like a model builder, you'll build a model. You're done with it, so you put it back in the box, or you put it on a shelf, and only when you happen to walk in the room do you recognize it or think about it. It's a project. It was done. It's completed. And now we ignore it. We forget about it. We don't think about it as often. But we don't complete people. He does. We are workers together with Him. We're in this together. We're all part of the same body. Nobody that comes in here is a project. I can't complete them. I can't save them. But I can love them. Because that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to love them. When people are treated like projects, we stop working on it sometimes. We get bored with it, tired of it. It's taking too long. It's too much effort. It's too much cost. You know, I can't do it anymore. I'm just tired of fooling with it. I don't have an interest in it anymore. And we just stop working on it. But we can't stop helping people. And we can't stop working with people. Again, we can't complete them. And we can't fix them. Only God can do those things. But we are instruments. A body has healing properties in it. And so does the body of Christ. And when we continue to show love, love never fails. Love takes care of things. And when we love people, we'll flow mercy and long-suffering and kindness. That's in the beginning of the fruit of the Spirit. It is love. The reason sometimes people get so frustrated in the other areas and relationships of their life is because they don't realize that we read the scripture says, don't quench the spirit. And so we're like, I don't want to stop a move of God. I don't want to stop the spirit from moving. But whenever we stop loving, we quench the spirit. Because the very first in the list, fruit of the spirit, love. Everything else flows from love. Faith worketh by love. We've got to love one another. And so when we stop loving and letting brotherly love continue, God has put us together. And I know that we console ourselves sometimes by saying, I'll just love them from a distance, and I get that. But we sometimes people say that, but they don't really mean it because they're saying, no, I've stopped love altogether. And when you stop love, you quench the spirit, because God intended for love to continue. And to quench something is to stop it. And when we stop loving, I know it gets hard. This is a hard thing sometimes to love like Jesus loved. I know, I understand that. It's hard to love when your heart's broke. It's hard to love when you've been hurt or stabbed in the back or lied on. It's hard. But we're supposed to love the way He loved. And we think that these signs shall follow them that believe. They don't out devils. They're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to do all these things. We read the things that we think. We focus on this statement that Jesus made. The things I've done, you'll do, and greater things shall you do. And we're just looking at the greater things because we figured He's already done this, so now we're going to do the greater things. But what He did and what was the greatest thing He ever did was He loved everybody. First and foremost, He is love. We love Him because He first loved us. So when we love people, we are being like Him. You're not more like Him because you prayed for the sick. You're more like Him because you loved the sick. You're not more like Him because you prayed for the sinner. You're more like Him when you loved the sinner. You're not more like Him because you flipped the table and chased people out. You're more like Him when you loved your enemy. And let me just say, I'm not making these comments because of anything that happened in the apostolic world last week. So before anybody says, oh, there's his opinion. I'm not talking about the things that you've seen all over the social media and internet. I'm saying that we are supposed to love people. Let brotherly love continue. Not just signs, not just wonders, but love also. Another thing about projects is that people will just scrap it altogether. Ah, I'm done with it. It never would have worked. Too much. It's too much for me to fool with anymore. It's not going to work. And how many times have we said that about people? They'll never get better. They're never going to get it. They're never going to improve. They're never going to get. But how many people could have said that about us? How many times could that have been said about our life that they've gone too far? They've done too much. They've done too wrong. They're just not trying anymore. So just scrap it. Let's just get rid of it. Let's move on to the next project. But thank God somebody kept brotherly love flowing into our life. When we were unlovable, when we were a mess, when we were making mistakes, when we didn't deserve it, but somebody said, man, I believe in you. I love you. I'm going to help you all I can. Be honest with them. I can't fix you, but I'm going to love you. And love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. Sin in their life, sin against us. Love will help you overlook it. We can't give up on people. We all need someone. You know, I preached it last week, when there is no man. The scripture tells us two are better than one. We are many members. We are fitly joined together. And so we can't give up on people. We need someone to help us, to encourage us, to, you know, we were just having a conversation with some of our friends yesterday, and we were like, you know, we're glad we've got friends like this that can be honest with us, and honestly that they could just kick us in the backside when we need it. You know, hey, you know, get it together. And it's not because they're being mean, they're just being honest. Get it together, man. Come on. You can do this. That's brotherly love. That's somebody saying, hey, I love you, and I'm gonna help you every way I can. I'm going to do all I can to make sure that you're going to be all right. You know, sometimes you do all you can. And, you know, if they don't take your advice, that's okay. That's not license to stop loving them. Brotherly love must continue. I heard Brother Arnold tell a story one time. He said there was a young man that he was invited to church. You know, he was just out in the world, but he came in and the church just loved on him and just, man, just made, you know, invited him. They were taking him out to dinner, doing Bible studies with him and involving him in things, made sure he was connected. And the evangelist came through and, man, preached a great revival. The young man was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And, man, he was just, you know, so fired up and excited about what God was doing in his life. And the evangelist came back through there several months later and said that young man was sitting on the back row and not very engaged and just seemed kind of down. And said the evangelist asked him after service, man, what's going on with you? He said, man, you were on fire when I left here. And he said, you know what, preacher? He said, I wish I was still a sinner. He said, I wish I was still lost. He said, because when I was lost, he said, people paid attention to me. People loved me. They encouraged me. They prayed for me. They invited me. He said, after I got baptized and got the Holy Ghost, said, nobody called me anymore. Nobody talked to me anymore. They just left me on my own. That's not letting brotherly love continue. That's, we've got to let brotherly love continue. There's two points in this, that scripture, two words. The opening word, let, means to allow, to permit, or to make something possible by giving permission or not preventing it. Sometimes we prevent it from continuing because of our attitude, because of our feelings and our emotions. We stop it from going further. We prevent it. But he said, let it. He said, so allow, permit it, make it possible. And guess what? All things are possible to him that believeth. Give it permission. Give love permission in your life. Allow yourself to just love people freely. I know it's a fearful thing, because we know when you just love like that, it's going to go right back in your face sometimes. But it went back in his face. The other word is continue. It means to stay. It means to stay in a given place, or a given state, or to stay in a relation or expectancy. So let brotherly love stay. Let it stay in this state. Don't let anything damage your ability to love people. Don't let anything damage your ability to love one another. A church, a body, cannot survive if brotherly love stops. And so the man wrote to the church, to the saints, let brotherly love continue. Well, I don't know who wrote that scripture. Well, what did Jesus say about it? In John 13:34, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. He said, a new commandment. I'm telling you, I'm commanding you, my closest disciples, I'm commanding you that are so close, that have walked with me, that have worked together, that have seen all this, I'm commanding you, love one another. Well, you just think it's natural. They're part of a team. They're part of a group. They're part of they're the closest ones to him. It'd just be natural that they would love one another. And Jesus still had to tell them, hey, don't get so busy preaching. Don't get so busy working. Don't get so busy doing the work of the church that you forget to love each other. Well, why would I forget? Because you're different. You've got different ideas, different expectations, different qualities, different personalities. And so I'm reminding you that even though you're all followers of me, if you forget to love one another, nobody's going to get it. So he said, as I have. So he has to define it for them. Well, what do you mean love one another? As I have loved you. He said, I don't want you to just love. He said, we don't just love him in word, but we love indeed also. So don't just love each other in word, but love indeed. So as I have loved you, that you love one another. You love each other the way I loved you. Buddy, that's a high bar, but it is not unreachable. We can't love him the way we want. We can't love people the way we want to love them. We got to love people the way he loved them. Well, it's a fact. It's a fact. We've got to love people the way he loved them. Because he said, by this, all men shall know that you are my disciples. By this. Not because you laid hands on the sick. Not because you invited them to a building. Not because you preached to them. He said, simply by this. There is no more powerful example or light to shine than loving people. And people don't want to, they don't like, they think preaching love is sissy stuff. Oh, I know people like that. That, all that, I'm not talking about Hallmark movie, gushy Hollywood idea of love. I'm talking about the love of God is powerful. The love of God saved us. The love of God went through everything we were to get to us. Yeah. The love of God went to the cross. The love of God suffered. The love of God died for us so that we could live again. Let me tell you, love is powerful. Love. God is love. Yeah. Anything more powerful than him? He's the Almighty. And when we love the way he loved, that is how people will know that we are his disciples, if you have love one to another. Nobody's going to get it. We are living epistles read of all men. And the story is going to be very confusing and hard to figure out if it's not read through love. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. So what people see reflected in us or projected from us is what they think Jesus is like. That's one reason people have a terrible taste in their mouth about Christianity. Because they've seen a lot of anger and frustration and not very much love. That's why the apostolic church got such a bad rap in later years, is because it was just fist pounding and screaming and hollering at people and cracking a whip on people instead of loving people. That's the reason a lot of people won't step foot in a Pentecostal church today, because of something they experienced long ago, and they don't know what it's like to really have somebody love them. Love them unconditionally. Just love them. I'm not going to love you because you came and repented. I'm going to love you because Jesus loves you. And I love you. I owe this. This is what I owe to people. So what, you know, the scripture says, what they see in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. But if they can't see love, they can't see Christ. And so then they can't see any hope. What people see reflected from us is what they will think about Jesus. At least 20 different times the Lord said, love one another. I think he was trying to make a point. And if the world sees a church that does not love itself, then they will not trust themselves with us. If all they see among us is backbiting, fighting, lying, anger, fussing, well, they can have that at home. They can have that at school. They can have that at Walmart. But if they see a group of people that just love each other, then they can feel like, maybe I can come into this. Maybe that's what I've been looking for. I've been looking for a place where I can feel loved, where I can feel acceptance. And if we don't love ourselves, they will not trust themselves with us. We could raise the dead and open blinded eyes, and it won't be enough to convince people, because there's all kind of imposters in the world. The Lord said in the last days there'll be people calling fire out of heaven. There's people doing all kind of hocus pocus kind of stuff in this world today. And they said, well, we see that kind of stuff anywhere. We can see that in Las Vegas. You know? But what cannot ever be imitated is the love of God. That's something that God gave us an ability to do. And if they see that, they're going to see a difference. But if they can't sense a difference in us and our loving each other, they're going to follow fake miracles and just be lost. They should know that we love each other. And that's what Jesus said. That's how all men will know. That love can convince the hardest of hearts that he's real. Because the love of God will reach across racial barriers. It can hit social barriers. There's no wrong side of the tracks in the kingdom. No, sir, we're all on the same page. And when people see, how is it that this group and this group have come together? It's because we are one body by one spirit, and the fruit of that spirit, first and foremost, number one, is love. And that's how all men will know that we are his. And that's how they will know. They can trust this. They should know that we love each other. The scripture says to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Without love, there is no light. There is no light. And Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, and he was love. If we don't have love, we're just like a flashlight without a bulb. We've got batteries, we've got the vessel, but we got nothing to shine the light. We must have love in this world. And that doesn't just go for the new converts. I said, you know, we can't just love people to conversion and then cut them off. We've got to love them past conversion. That means when your wife is expecting a child, many times she'll say, make the comment, I love this child so much already. Not here yet, but I love it already. Dads will be somebody, we love this child already. You know, and then once it's born, did you quit loving it once it was born? Oh, you can't even believe it, because now you can hold it. You're there with it. You're teaching it. You're able to hold it and just watch every step of growth, and you just love it more and more every day. Then they get old enough to walk by themselves. Do you stop loving it? Do you stop loving them when they can talk, when they can feed themselves? Now they can put their own clothes on. They can go to the bathroom by themselves, whatever. You know, they get mature. They're growing up. They can read a little bit. Now they can drive. Do you stop loving them as they reach maturity? No. You just keep loving. And that's what we do in the church. We just keep loving. Keep being there. Keep that brotherly love. Allow it to continue. Allow it to stay, as that one part of that definition is, to remain in that state. I don't want my love for people to get damaged where now I'm very careful and reserved about loving people. I just want to love people. I know it can backfire sometimes, but I'm just going to love them anyway because that's the way God wants it to be. The scripture says that I can have faith to move mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. I can have faith to work all miracles, but if I have no love, I'm nothing. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. I don't want to be just making noise. I want to be making a difference. A friend to people. Proverbs said, a friend loveth at all times. Oh, you know what Jesus called his disciples? Friends. And you are my friends. And then the wisest of us, of kings, wrote, hey, you know what? A friend loveth at all times. If they were really friends, then a friend loveth at all times. The litmus test for us, if we're really a friend, is can we love them when it looks like they're unlovable? Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love me, or that you love one another as I have loved you. That was John 15 and 12. But in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, he said this: if a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. That's strong. But I'm not calling people a liar, but love will call us a liar. Because love will test you. He said, if you hate your brother, you say you love God, hate your brother, you're a liar. For he that loves not his brother who he has seen, how can he love God that he has not seen? How can he do it? Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let brotherly love continue. Yep. Jesus had these disciples. I want to love the way he loved. He said, love one another as I have loved you. So do I have love or am I a liar? I know this is, he said, I'll be glad when Brother Doug gets here. Listen, his disciples made mistakes and he loved them. They lacked faith. He loved them. They misunderstood what he was saying and he loved them. They rebuked him. He loved them. Cut off people's ears and he loved them. They questioned him. But he loved them. One of them betrayed him, but he loved them. Peter denied him, but he loved him. You know why? Because Peter was his friend. And a friend loveth at all times. And you know what makes the difference? Is love never fails. The Lord had told Peter, said, I'm praying that your faith fail not. Love never fails. Love will take a chance. On a time and chance happens to us. All that love takes a chance on all of us. And the Lord said, you know what? I love you, Peter. You're going to deny me. You're going to get sifted. I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail. I love you. Yeah. Jeremiah 31 and 2 said, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yeah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Because I loved you, I've drawn you. I've pulled you closer to me. I loved you. That word everlasting means eternity, always, eternal, and without end. So if I'm going to love others like he loved me, I've got to love them without end. I've got to love them always. I've got to love them at all times. When they make me want to pull my hair out, I've got to love them. When they hurt my feelings, I got to love them. When they walk away, I got to love them. Because love makes that difference. We've got to let brotherly love continue in the church. Because the world is not going to do it. And any revival that we want to see is going to die in its infancy without the love of God. It'll be one big flash in the pan. And then we'll be, where did everybody go? Because love is the holding factor. Love is what keeps it together. Love is what makes it real. Love is what makes it stick. Oh, it can be exciting. It can be a draw. But nobody will stay where love is not present. We see that in life every day. Where there is no love, people just go. But where the love is. And so, listen. We're a body. Fitly framed together. A family of believers. And just like the disciples among ourselves, we are imperfect. Ain't nobody in here perfect. We are imperfect. We are different in our likes and dislikes, in our taste, in our personalities. But that does not disqualify my brother from my love. I am not freed from the obligation of loving somebody simply because they're different. Say, I mean, I have an obligation? Yeah, you have an obligation as a child of God to love. Proverbs 13 and 8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. The scripture says, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it, I came to fulfill it. You know what example he gave us? Love people as I've loved you. We can't fulfill, we can't do the things that he came to do. He came to fulfill the law. We can't fulfill the law unless we love one another. So don't start looking at greater things when you can't do the initial thing. Well, a little pastoring this morning. I heard somebody say, you know, you got to preach the things you want to see. And if there's anything I want to see among our people is that we love one another. I don't care what nobody else thinks about it outside these doors. This church, these people, these believers that gather together every service, we need to love each other. We need to love one another. You don't let nobody outside your congregation tell you how you ought to be treating somebody else that's in your congregation. You tell them to mind their business and stay in their yard. This is our church family. Love each other. Love one another. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, you know, that's where we want to stop. Well, I obeyed the scripture. I obeyed the truth. He said, you obeyed it through the Spirit, but you obeyed it unto something else. You obeyed it to unfeigned love of the brethren. There's a lot of people say, well, if I know that was a stipulation, I would have just not, I'd have never took it. I just want to be born again. I just want to go to heaven. But when you obey the truth, you obey it unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You've got, you're not going to get around it. And you're not going to hear well done without love in your life. You can't do well if you can't love people. You got to love them. So he says, seeing that you've done this unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, unfeigned means to be sincere and without hypocrisy. Don't love them to their face and talk about them behind their back. He said, love them fervently. It doesn't just mean intensely, it means intently, with purpose. And without ceasing. Once we are born again, there's The first two commandments are never greater in our life, because before we're born again, we can't even fulfill them. But once we are born again, the first two commandments become even greater and mean more and have more purpose in our life. In Matthew 22, Jesus said this, the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. When your heart's hasn't been replaced, when you've still got that heart of stone and not that heart of flesh, you can't love God like you should yet. For a believer, these scriptures, and these scriptures were written to the children of God. It wasn't written out to the world. He's talking to people, to his people. What's the greatest commandments that we, God's people, are supposed to be keeping? Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first, and that's the great commandment. The second is like unto it, love thy neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All of it hangs on those two things. Love God first, and then love your neighbor. And if you ain't loving your neighbor, you ain't loving God. No matter how you protest and say and proclaim that you are, it's impossible. It can't happen. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's how we can perceive the love of God. There was a sacrifice. Loving people is going to be a sacrifice. And we are supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That don't happen without love. So there's a sacrifice in this way of life. He said, that's how we perceive the love of God, and that's how others will perceive the love of God. He said, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let brotherly love continue. Lay down our lives for the brethren. He said, but whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You can stand with me. I know I'm coming close to my time. He said, how can anybody say he's got the love of God in his life when he has no compassion for his brother, for his brethren? Love will fix what's broken. Love will fix what's broken in your life. Yeah, it will. Been a while since I taught on this, but I think it is. It's what we need. Again, in 1 John, I got a couple of minutes in 1 John. Listen what he said right here in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us, if we love one another. Not if we sing together, not if we preach together, not if we pray together, not if we gather together, but if we love one another. That's how his love is perfected in us. That's what brings it to fruition. And the scripture says we ought to move on to perfection. So we can perfect our services. We can perfect our shout. We can perfect our social media pages, our image, our sign, our logos. We can get everything just perfect and not be doing nothing for the kingdom because there's no love. You'll spend all that money to perfect all the things, and the doors will close on you because nobody's going to stay where there ain't no love. It just don't last. So brethren, saints, people that I love so much, I'm telling you today in the Holy Ghost, love one another. Let brotherly love continue. Whatever it takes, don't let it be stopped up. Don't let pride or ego or hurt feelings or anything stop up that love that you are required, commanded even to have toward the brethren. Love one another. Love one another fervently, intently. Let's lift our hands this morning. Ask God to search us this morning. It's easy to get jaded. But God wants His people to love each other. Oh, God. Glory to your name. Oh, I love you, God. We love I want to be like you, God. I want to be like you. I want to love like you love. Help us today, God. Touch us in this place today, God. Lift your hands in loving this morning. Hallelujah. Sing a little bit of that, darling. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord and love Him for just another moment. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.